Good morning and welcome. It's a Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy. It is 8:34 on a happy hump day, Trump day, Helene prep day. And here with really all the updated information, let's talk to Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez. And Governor, it was great to hear from you at the recent Black Tie Blue Jeans event. But we got some serious business to handle this morning, don't we?
Indeed, we do. We've got Tropical Storm Helene, which is likely going to intensify and become a hurricane. And, of course, folks in the Big Bend area, the West Coast, bracing for that. And hopefully in the throes of preparations and making sure that they have their plan in place and they're executing their plan and they're heeding local orders. You know, oftentimes we rely heavily on our local government emergency managers to pull the trigger as it relates to evacuation orders. We know those don't come easily. We know people obviously don't like to evacuate, but they do so for your safety and your well-being. And so you can find the evacuation orders. I think up to 18 counties now have issued some sort of evacuation order, whether mandatory or voluntary. You can find all of that on floridadisaster.org. But our most important message for Floridians today is to please be prepared, to please be safe, and to follow those orders. We've got all of the resources in place. We have all of the assets, all of the personnel staged, ready to deploy once the storm passes, once it's safe to do so. Governor DeSantis has been leading the charge, making sure everything's ready on the front end. And we'll make sure that everything will go smoothly on the back end. But we certainly want people to do their part and prepare today.
Well, you and the governor put out a state of emergency, 61 counties involved. And so for people that aren't familiar, when you go under a state of emergency, what's the basic thing that the average person needs to know about this state of emergency?
Well, we don't do those things lightly, right? No, nobody likes to have to uproot their lives and go through the process of preparing and evacuating. So the governor, working in tandem with our state meteorologists, with all of the folks in our Division of Emergency Management, he issues the executive order. We activate our Emergency Operations Center at a level one, which is the highest level of activation. We bring all of the pieces in place, everything from our healthcare administration, working with hospitals and ALF and nursing homes to make sure they have their needs. Our Division of Emergency Management is constantly communicating with the local government, with their leadership, with their emergency management, working with FEMA. They have already approved our pre-landfall emergency declaration. Those are things that are important, not necessarily for your listeners, but that makes the process seamless in terms of reimbursements and in terms of applying for all the disaster aid that we're going to need post-storm. So all those things are taking place. All of those things have been handled. We've got, like I said, all of the assets, all of the National Guardsmen, all of the linemen that are ready to go once the storm passes. But really and truly, as we monitor this thing and we see it intensify and grow, it's going to bring a significant amount of wind and rain. So both wind and rain, storm surge. We have for really something new that we've begun to implement, a best practice that Florida has led the way on is flood protection devices. And what those are, we have over 150,000 linear square feet of flood protection units. So these devices, you put them around the utility substations, you put them around hospitals that are perhaps susceptible to flooding to minimize and to avoid and avert some significant flooding in those particular pieces of critical infrastructure. And that is helpful on the back end, of course, because then if your utility substation is flooded, obviously restoration, the work of restoration is going to be that much more difficult. So we've got everything in place, but most importantly right now, we want Floridians to be able to stay safe and to follow local orders. That is our main message.
Does the state of emergency also constitute the anti-gouging rules going into effect? And also, are you removing road tolls?
Yeah, so the governor will be having a press conference probably within the next hour. There will be discussion of the price gouging hotline, so that will be activated if it isn't already. Obviously, the governor will talk about tolls and all of those things, so I don't want to get out ahead of him, but certainly we are going to take all the measures to make it easier for people to evacuate as well as to protect people from some bad actors that may want to take advantage during this difficult time.
Well, we know you're super busy. We appreciate you taking the time. Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez, keep up the good work, and we're going to hear from you soon on the amendments, we hope.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and I hope everyone is safe.
Thank you. Stay safe. All right. So, yeah, state of the emergency, 61 counties. I guess, yeah, the governor will go into greater detail of other things that are going to be put into effect. He's probably going to remove the tolls and do the anti-gouging and the hotline and all that, like she said. And I was going to ask her about future plans to, like, mitigate damage from hurricanes, but she kind of went into that a little bit, if I have it right, kind of these pump type devices, if I have it right, that'll keep floodwaters out of, like, critical areas, like where you have, like, generators for hospitals and things. So, yeah. And she was really pressed for time. That's why we weren't able to get into all of it. And the other thing I wanted to say, you know, having these ongoing hurricanes that hit, and especially if they're major ones, is that going to hurt our overall efforts to really, you know, push Tallahassee to bring down our homeowners insurance rates? Or to, I shouldn't say bring them down, because that sounds like the force of government, but to make the ground fertile. That'll increase competition among insurance carriers so that we, the consumer, can reap the benefits of more competition.
I like that thought. Anybody who's got insurance is like, yes, Bob, please. Please, please, please.
But, you know, she can only get to so much, and obviously it's very, very busy
kind
time.
Of interesting, and even just yesterday, talking to some of our emergency management people, I mean, they were in meetings with Tallahassee and phone calls and conferences all day long. I mean, I was getting phone calls back last night after 7 o'clock from people that I was touching base with yesterday morning. But they're on it, and that's the good thing. I mean, Florida does a great job in immediate recovery once these storms have moved on.
I know a lot of people, when we first started talking about it, they would be like looking and go, I don't see much going on there. And I felt the same way.
There wasn't.
And then all of a sudden, it seems like it came out of nowhere. It did come out of nowhere, but it wasn't as traditional and have this long path as we become somewhat accustomed to. So let me give you the latest numbers. These are 8 a.m. numbers. And what you have is maximum sustained winds, Helene, at 70 miles an hour, still officially a tropical storm. You have to reach 74 miles an hour for it to be a hurricane. That literally could happen anytime now. Movement northwest at 9 miles an hour. As a lieutenant governor had stated, Big Bend area looks like it could possibly be where it makes landfall, but really anywhere from Panama City Beach all the way to the Tampa Bay area. Well, it's going to be very prone, but it could happen anywhere inside of that cone. So things can change. That's why you want to, you know, keep the radio on. And we'll be with you for as long as we possibly can. And we've got a good track record of staying with you through these kinds of things. Yeah, the coastline is really, I mean, they have been inundated. They have just gotten hammered. How many people do you know? Maybe you're fortunate enough to have a little place like Steinhatchee, Horseshoe Beach, Suwannee, Cedar Key just had half the, you know, the pier area burn. And now they're going to get hit with this.
That's going to be a mess, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I feel for all those people, because we love our Florida coast. We really do. Yeah, it's one of the things that makes it a magical place to live. But, wow. Anyway, everybody will recover.
Yeah.
But you can't recover if you lose life.
Well, and the irony with Cedar Key is, you know, we had some folks that were just the other day saying, look, they had the 4 businesses that burned, but everything else is running. All the water businesses, they're still going. And they were encouraging people to come, you know, spend some money, make some donations, help Cedar Key out. And then you got this storm coming. That's just it's a triple whammy for them this summer.
Expected to strengthen, and most of the experts say into a major hurricane. And that's pretty powerful, and that will mean that inland we'll have some very devastating winds reaching, you know, deep into the middle of the state.
Yeah, it seems like the key here is going to be how tight will it stay, because the tighter that it is and it stays more concentrated there in the center, obviously that will help. But if that is not the case, then, yeah, you're going to be seeing wind and rain pretty much across the state.
And apparently this type of hurricane and how it's formed and some of the variables leads them to believe that this will be both intense and large in coverage area. The good news is it appears that they think it's going to move at a fairly decent pace.
Yes.
So that won't be sitting over us and...
Like the last one,
yeah. All right. Hey, we'll stay on top of it.